We're going to talk about a subject today that we don't typically talk about. I want to talk to you today about the beauty of holiness. It's not something we typically talk about, but I think it's something important enough to cover, to emphasize. So let me ask this question of you. Can you think of something that's really amazing, beautiful, really refined, pure, high-end, high-quality, special? Can you think of those things? Well, Jesus, but I'm thinking on earth. Can you think of these things? So does anybody know on the left, that's water, but it's not just any water. That's type 1 grade A ultra water. It's been filtered through a 0.1 micron filter. It's been distilled 4 times, and it's been ionized. So it's a special type of water used in laboratory studies and experiments. Does anybody know what that thing is on the right? What's that? Very close. Thank you. It's actually tritium. It's radioactive. It's a hydrogen isotope that has extra protons. It's bombarded with neutrinos. It's very specialized. It's not rare, but if you have a watch that glows in the dark, odds are it has tritium on it. So I'm a scientist in my day job. This was for me. And any of my scientist friends watching, I'll bring it back to something a little more normal or regular for you, if I can get the next slide here. All right. Did you know that there are 7 types of olive oil, 7 grades of olive oil? Well, God bless you if you did, because I didn't until I was looking at this. Let me see here. And the Bertolli's, is that how you say that? Bertolli's is okay. That's virgin, but that one on the bottom comes in this specialized flask. And it's actually, the price per ounce is amazing. I don't know why you would even cook with that, but it's a very special olive oil. It's been filtered and purified a little bit, and it's called, see if I can read this right, premium extra virgin olive oil. That's what it's called. So hang on a second. The one in the middle is honey, and I have honey. Don't want to get ahead of myself. Honey is pure honey, and it's called grade A honey, and it has a certain limit that you can have on the amount of particulates and the amount of other stuff in it. It's pure grade A honey, and sometimes it's clover honey, and it too has been filtered. You see that? And then Richard, Mike gave you the answer, so you can't answer, but maple syrup. What's the highest grade of maple syrup? It's grade B. Sorry. I would have never known that either until I looked this up. It's grade B maple syrup. Did you know that? It's grade B maple syrup. Or grade A dark amber is what they call it now. It's got a darker color. It's a little sweeter. It's a little pure, and I have grade A dark color, which is the next level down. I couldn't find the other one. Never mind. I got that on sale, but let's just leave it at that. So the point of all of this is maple syrup, to make it, you have to reduce it. You have to distill it. It's about 40 gallons, gives you 1 gallon. So there's a lot of heat, a lot of processing that has to go on. Can you guys, do you mind if I interrupt the sermon to do something prophetic here? Okay. Cheryl, God told me to give this to you so that you can anoint people and bless lives, because you're faithful and he will do that. Thank you. Josh, God told me to give this to you to anoint your father with honey. Just kidding. I think we should do that. We use oil, but honey would be really cool. It would just be sweet. Ah, and the Holy Spirit could stick to you. The B plus. Yeah. Actually, to get a little more serious, Dave, God told me to give this to you. It's a weird set of instructions, but you need to use that in the next 3 months, 2 to 3 months. You can't hoard it. And as you need to share it when you use it. But as you pour that out, God's going to bring sweetness, flavor, favor in your life. And he's going to bring a season of just what that maple syrup represents over the next few months. So I don't know why he said that, but I want you to hear that. The other person isn't here. Can I give this to you as her guardian? This is for your youngest, and tell her God thinks she's the sweetest, purest thing. Yes. She is back there. Here you go, honey. Sorry. I wasn't trying to anoint you, but you need to know that. God thinks you're very sweet. I'm about ready to start crying. Okay, sorry, I didn't see you back there. So where were we? Sweetness from God. Imagine these things that are refined and pure, high-end, high-quality. You get the idea. Let me give you a couple other examples. I don't have any of these to give out. Sorry, but there's diamonds here, right? Ladies, if you're not married, you don't settle for anything less than the high four C's, right? Color, carat, all that stuff, cut. She's showing off hers. That looks good. That looks good. Yes. Oh, awesome. That's great. So, but, you know, diamonds are made under pressure with a lot of heat, right? And that glass on the right is a very high-grade glass. You know, telescopes or satellites have this very specialized glass that's been polished and polished and heated up, and it's got a certain grade of silicon oxide that it can only be above that certain percentage. Anything below that, it won't work. So there's glass. Let's see if I can get to the next slide. How about gold and silver? Again, I don't have any of that to give out. But you can see the gold and silver, and it's different grades of that, different levels of purity or impurity. And you boil that out, you heat that out, and you literally burn off the dross. And the highest quality of gold is 24 carats. Just saying, from a price perspective, I'll take, you know, 2 carats. It's really valuable. And you get the idea of how pure this is. That highest purity of gold is 99.999% gold. So it's gone through some refining. You get the idea. Same with all those precious metals. How about a special sword? You understand that this sword goes through the heat, goes through the process, goes through the fire, gets heated up, and it's special. And in fact, in Japan, they have a couple special swords that are so special, they give them names. Not like Bob or nothing, but like they got this special name for this sword. I can't pronounce it. I'm not going to pretend to. But here's a replica of this sword, right? And this sword is so special. It's so valuable. It's ancient, several hundred years old. The replica of this sword is valuable. And the point being is that it's gone through the fire, it's gone through some refining, and they beat out, literally, the impurities so that this is a very specialized tool and implement. Are you seeing a pattern here? Okay. So let me come back. The point of all of this is that these things are noted for their worth and their value, their uniqueness, their specialty. Okay. These things also serve as standards for other things. Okay, you get that idea? They have special qualities and features, and they are near perfect. They almost have a beauty to them, very limited faults. They are used but for a very specific and special and unique purpose. Okay? They set apart from lower graded materials and are set apart by their lack of impurities. And because they have been refined, filtered, distilled, concentrated, and under pressure. Okay. So these are basically recognized as precious, beautiful, glorious things. And in short, we would call these things holy in a biblical context. So that's a weird thought. So I want to ask you, what does holy mean? What does it mean to exhibit holiness? What is holy? Well, sometimes for me, it's easier to describe stuff by identifying what it is not. So I'm going to walk through that. If you look on the left, there's your $20 words: religiosity, sanctimoniousness, holier than thou, moralism, legalism, prohibitions, perfectionisms. That's what holiness is not. It is not being what you are not. It's not putting on airs. It's not solely moral behavior. That's part of it, but that's not totally it. It's not talking in the King James. Thou art the greatest, thine, this, that, whatever. Okay, that doesn't make you holy. Okay, what it means to be holy literally means to be set apart. Okay, something different, something unique. Other synonyms for that are sanctification, another $20 word, or godliness. And we'll come back to that in a moment. But sanctification is the process of becoming holy, the process literally of becoming set apart. Why is that picture up there? That's taken from my dining room. My wife has this hutch with very specialized china in it. We take that out maybe every 4 or 5 years, and I'm scared to eat off of it, if I can be honest with you. I just am scared of this china because it's so holy that I don't need to be near it. It's scary to touch this to me. But that to me, when I think of holy, I go look at that thing and yeah, that's it. You know, it's a very special, very valuable. It's been passed down to her through 2 or 3 generations. It's got wonderful pictures on it, beautiful art. It's set apart for special events like Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever. Okay? That's holy. You get the concept? Okay. Let me ask you another question. Why do we want to talk about holiness? It's not like a popular thing. You don't read about this in the paper a whole lot. I think there's 3 reasons we want to talk about holiness. I think the world needs us to be holy. I think we need us to be holy. And God needs us to be holy because nothing short than His character is at stake. Okay, let me unpack these things for you. The world needs us as Christ followers to be holy. The statistical difference between the church and the world in many facets of life has become indistinguishable, sadly. You look at divorce, you look at sexual purity, the use of pornography, financial dishonesty, gluttony, anger, civility, number of lawsuits. It's hard to distinguish the church from the world out at hand. And we need to be holy for the world's sake, because there are absolute standards. Remember that gold. You can only be 24 karat gold if you're 99.99% gold. It's not a judgment statement, not a value statement. If you're lesser than that, it's just that's the standard. That standard is not negotiable. That is holiness. And what we hear is that these examples continue to erode, and the status and criteria for pure gold are not negotiable. The status and criteria for holiness are also not negotiable. God said it. That's the way it is. Sorry, deal with it. And it's not negotiable not only in what it is, but the need for it. So the world needs us to show that standard of what holiness is, to distinguish ourselves from them so that they see that. Why is that? Because it's attractive. You look at those diamonds, if you're so inclined, you look at gold, or for me, if you look at the grade B maple syrup, that is attractive stuff. You know what I'm saying? And it's attractive when something is holy. It's like, wow, that's valuable. Wow, that's different. Whoa, something there is unique that I like. I asked my wife's permission to share this, but one of the most attractive times I've ever seen my wife was when she was giving a message at her dad's memorial service in God's word. And I'm like, dang, that's a beautiful woman. In God's word, his spirit was on her. And there was an attractiveness there that was like, made me realize I was a lucky guy. And the world can see you and say, wow, there's something different. There's something attractive about this. What is it? I want more. The second reason we want to talk about holiness is we need us to be holy. I'll tell you in a minute, it's not an option. God commands you to be holy. You need to be holy. And when God tells you to do something, just the way God is, it has a benefit for us in mind. When we are holy, when we are set apart, it protects us, it benefits us, and it gives us not only that attractiveness, but that standard. It gives us that refinement. It gives us that beauty and that purification and that glory. We'll talk about that in a little bit. That we get to have because God gives it to us, because we are holy and agree that we need to be holy. I love how when God tells you to do something, it benefits him, it gives him his glory, but it usually benefits you too. In fact, it categorically benefits you. When I tell my kids to clean your room, looking at you, son, clean your room. Yeah, all right, Dad's nagging on me again. Clean your room. I have a benefit in mind. It's so that when we need something, we know where to find it. It's in its place. Parents want me to keep going. So we know where it is, kids. And not only that, Josh, there's nothing growing in your sneakers. That's a health benefit for you. Just kidding. I picked on you twice in one. I'm sorry, man. All right. You get the point. Okay. No, you're not. When we say that, there's a benefit we have in mind, in addition to the fact that Dad doesn't want to step on hidden Legos under your shirt or something, right? So you need to be holy for our own sake, that we get a benefit out of it. And the last thing I want to emphasize is how we represent God's character is at stake. Did you know that when the world thinks about God, the first thing that pops into their mind is you as Jesus followers? Hate to say that, hate to break that to you, but it's true. If you follow Jesus, you're what people think of when they think about God. I don't say that to guilt trip you. I say that to realize that ultimately this is about the character and representation of God. That's what is at stake. How God is portrayed to the world is largely done by us, his followers. Again, that's not a guilt trip. That's just a reality. Is there such thing as a reality trip? I don't know. But there's a reality to that statement, and that there is a risk of the distinctiveness being eroded, the set apartness, and losing that attractiveness, losing that glory, the less we are holy. Okay, are you with me so far? Okay. I set this up so that we could read this one verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. God did not call us to be impure, to live a holy life. Different version says God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. He wants you, he wants me, to be those beautiful diamonds that sparkle. He wants you, he wants me, to be that pure gold that people go, wow, that is valuable, that is set aside. There's different versions of this, but there's this sense that we are called to be holy. Okay. Not impure, but holy. Okay. There's a calling on our life, but let me tell you something else that's worse. We're commanded to be holy. It's not an option. Sorry. Leviticus says, "For I am the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt to be your God. Thus you shall be holy, for I am holy. Speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for the Lord your God am holy. Thus you are to be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the peoples to be mine." Those are commandments. I can hear some of you saying, yeah, that's Old Testament stuff. Okay, I got New Testament stuff. 1 Peter says, "Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." And here's one that's really good if you're wrestling with all this. This is just perfect. "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." It's in the Bible. And we read that and we go, huh? That doesn't jive with my experience. When you put these verses up there so blatantly obvious that commands us to be holy, which ultimately is what perfection is about, we say, I know you all are too polite to say it, but a lot of you are objecting right now in your heads, in your hearts. I was. I sometimes do. This just doesn't make sense. I mean, come on, God. It's impossible for me to be perfect. It's impossible for me to be holy. What do I have to do to become holy? What can I do to make this happen? The verb says be holy, not do holy. This is the great news. This is amazing. I love this. This is the catch. This is good news. How do I become holy? You don't. Jesus is, and he gives it to you when you decide to follow. Okay? Let me say this very clearly. You don't do anything to become holy. If you believe in Jesus, you are holy. And then what you do comes from the fact that you're holy. Let me say that again. You don't do anything to be holy. You are holy, so what you do comes from that. Okay? Fortunately, we have Mr. Me in the room. What's the verb tense that says, like, it is now, but it's going to be in the future? I want to say pluperfect or perfect. What? Future perfect? Is that it? Something like that. Thank you. I don't know. We look at ourselves and we see charcoal. It's dirty and grimy. I'm wearing this stinking suit, so I put it in a bag. I've got some charcoal here. It's messy. It is bad, right? You look at that. You might look in the mirror and you might see charcoal. When God looks at you, I'm here to tell you, he looks past the charcoal and he sees diamonds. It's time that you get over that and deal with it. God sees you as beautiful now. God sees you as holy now. Okay, now, how does a diamond come from charcoal? Pressure, heat, time. It's there. There's a diamond in here. It just hasn't been realized yet. So there's a holiness here now, but it's also being worked out to become made perfect and precious. It's a little bit of a nuance, but you need to understand this distinction. You cannot do a thing to become holy because you, as a follower and believer in Jesus, already are. I don't know how else to say it. You are holy, and that impacts what you do. Now, I think there might be two things that you could do to help make that more of a reality. One is you can agree with that. Simple, but I agree with you, God. I actually am diamonds. I actually am precious. I actually am beautiful gold. Might not look like it to a lot of people. Sometimes I can't see, but I agree with you, God. I am. And I understand that you're working to get some of that impurity out of me yet. But I know it's in there because I trust you. That's an agreement. That's an alignment with God's word. Said that this is the way you are. I think the other thing you can do is to let his spirit work that sanctification process in you. Okay? So we understand that you are holy, but there's still some process. There's still some refinement that needs to happen. Maybe some pressure, maybe some squeezing that you need to keep going on. I think ultimately this plays out in the choices that we make. So am I holy? Well, yeah. Well, then all the stuff that I might consider doing needs to be filtered with that in mind. Let me give you a disclaimer and a paradox. You guys get the paradox? Never mind. It's taken a while. The disclaimer is this. You are holy. Sometimes you get dirty. So get cleaned. Doesn't change the fact that you're holy. Sometimes impurities stick to you or get flung onto you. Get clean. It's called confessing sin. Just like those fancy plates at my house are still holy, sometimes they get used a little too much and they got stuff caked on them. We wash the dishes. Okay, that's different than totally fundamentally changing the molecular structure of those plates so that they can become holy. They're holy. So that's a disclaimer that yes, sometimes I do things, sometimes I fail, and it mars me, and it makes me feel less holy. But you know what? It doesn't change your fundamental nature that you're holy. You just get clean, get washed. That's what Jesus did and asked us to do. And the reason I emphasize this old charcoal thing and the fact that you are holy is most people get that they're sinners. A lot of people don't want to agree with the fact that they're saints, and you are. A lot of people don't want to agree with how God sees you as beautiful, precious, set apart, something amazing. And you need to get with the program, okay? All right, here's the paradox. You ready? No one liked my figure. Never mind. It's a pair of docs. You got it. Thank you. Let me just move on. Who's responsible for your holiness?
You are, Jesus, Holy Spirit.
You're all right. That's the paradox. You're responsible. You need to agree with this. You need to get into a place to align with it. And yet, the Holy Spirit is the one doing it. I mean, come on. The Holy Spirit has holy in his name. Right? Who better to help make you holy? Just saying. Here's a verse from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is the primary verse. You've seen us talk about verse 7. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Stop right there. Look at me. Stop looking up there. That's God's will, that you would be holy. That in enough is good. And we could stop right here. I won't. But we could stop. That's God's will for you, is that you are sanctified, you're holy. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification, in other words, your body, in sanctification, holiness, and honor, not lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the manner, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things. In other words, business honesty. On Tuesday morning, you're called to be just as holy as you are Sunday morning. For God has not called us to the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. Look at verse 8. So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. I love that. I love that. Here's why. If I reject this holiness thing, it's not that I'm rejecting some fat bald guy rambling on and on. I'm rejecting the Holy Spirit who's saying, I want you to be holy. That's my will for you. And you say, I don't want to do that. Oh, really? And the Holy Spirit gives you a little space and then continues to work in your life. And I'm going to show you that with a lot of Bible verses here in a moment. But if someone in your life, if you reject this holiness thing, you're not rejecting ideas of men. You're rejecting God himself. That's called grieving the Holy Spirit. You don't want to do that. So remember this paradox. Who's responsible for your holiness? You are. You need to align with what God is saying. Get into a place to make sure you agree with him. And then let him work. And that is what some of you were. Knuckleheads, meatheads, worms, losers, sinners, whatever. That's the prior verse. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That's good stuff. In Philippians, it says, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren or sister or family or whatever. The point is, God is working in us, and his Holy Spirit is working in us. His name is Holy Spirit. He takes holiness seriously. He wants that for you. He's going to work in your life, whether you like it or not. Sorry, if you believe in Jesus, he's working in your life to make you holy. It gets better. We also thank God continually because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit. When you get into the Bible, there's your standard. How do I know if I'm grade B maple syrup? All right. How do I know I'm 24 karat gold? The standard is right here. It's the Bible. And God uses that to work and point out, hey, you got a little bit of impurity. You're 99.97% pure. We got a little bit to work on. So, okay. I agree. Go ahead. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Awesome. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, your holiness. Again, that's what God wants for you, is holiness. For God has called us not for impurity, but in holiness. Let's keep going. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. Again, reiterating the importance of the Bible. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who live in every place, call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. I know certain traditions have different perspectives on this, but you need to start greeting each other as saints, because you are. Saint is a personified version of the word sanctified, which means set apart. You are set apart. You are a saint for God's particular purposes. He has for you in your time and your place in this point in human history on this planet. I don't know how to get more specific than that. Let me back up. So I told you that you don't do stuff to be holy. You are holy, and then what you do comes from that. That's good enough. We could have stopped there. I told you that there's a paradox that you're responsible for your holiness, and yet the Holy Spirit is also responsible for it. That's good. I want you to go home and wrestle with that. There's a lot of depth there that I've only skimmed the surface of. So those are two things. If that was all we covered this morning, and we won't, that would be good. But there's one other thing I want to cover. Okay? Remember all those pure things we talked about? Gold, silver, diamonds, high-grade type 1 water, grade A honey, grade B maple syrup, olive oil, this fancy sword with the big Japanese name. Every one of those things was purified, was refined, went through the fire, went through filtering, went through pressure. Okay, here's something I want to tell you and show you. Let's look at how the Holy Spirit moves in our lives. This is the key thing. I think some people really need to hear this today. Beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you also may rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. Amen. Did you know that God uses pressure in your life to bring about your holiness? Yes. Did you know God talks about this a lot in the Bible? Let me show you. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God's name is at stake. His glory is at stake. He's given that to you. He's not going to leave you alone. He's working in you to bring about your holiness. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You have brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet, you have brought us out to a place of abundance. Take away the dross from the silver, and the smith has material for a vessel. In other words, something that can be useful and set apart and special. The crucible is for silver, the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests hearts. My favorite Italian prophet, Malachi, says, "But who can endure the day of His coming? Who can stand up when He appears? For He is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap." Nasty chemicals, lye, you know, L-Y-E, nasty stuff. Cleanses everything, burns off organics. "He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. And I will put this third into the fire and refine them as one refines fire." A little historical context from Zechariah. "And test them as gold is tested. They will call upon My name, and I will answer them. I will say, 'They are My people,' and they will say, 'The Lord is my God.'" Sometimes you don't know that until you've been through a fire or pressure or water. "Even now the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." This is John the Baptist speaking. "I baptize you with water for repentance. But He who is coming after Me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." He's working in you, wants to work in you. I love these from Isaiah. "Behold, I have refined you, not as silver. I've tried you in the furnace of affliction. For My own sake, for My own sake, I do it. For how should My name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another." God wants to give His glory to us as we take on His holiness. Isn't that amazing? And it's for His sake that He wants to make us glorified. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, They shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. It might burn off junk that you're carrying, but it's not going to get you. All right. We don't deal with the pressures and stresses and challenges that life face us in this context of holiness very often. Let me rephrase, at least I don't. I tend to complain. I tend to be frustrated. I tend to not enjoy it. You ever had people at work treat you badly? Worse, people at work treat you badly because they know you believe in Jesus, or at school. You ever had just the random mechanical failures around the house just seem like they pile up? Hypothetically speaking, I can't get this to work. Why is that rotting? Why did that faucet break? We don't think of all of these things as something positive, but maybe we should. Maybe this is God's way of using these things to refine us. Maybe it's God's way of bringing us to more holiness, to squeezing us to make those diamonds come about a little more quickly. I think the results of these refining processes, of this pressure, of this filtering, whatever, is beautiful in God's eyes. When you look around at this building, when you look around at other people, do you see charcoal? Do you see diamonds? I'm seeing a lot of beauty here. And I would pray that God gives us those eyes to see the beauty in his body and even those not yet following him. So I hope you grasp the concept that there's nothing you can do to be holy because you are holy in Christ Jesus. That impacts everything else you do. Your choices align from that. I hope you get the idea that both you are responsible for your holiness, but the Holy Spirit is even more responsible, and that's what he wants to do anyways. So just agree with him. And I hope you get the idea that the challenges of life, the tough stuff in life that hits, okay, maybe you sinned and you're paying the consequences. Own it, man up to it, deal with it. But more often than not, maybe that tough stuff is God just saying, I love you too much to let some of these things remain. I want to refine you. We need to just let him. Okay. You mind if I close in prayer? Okay. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That's on play 24/7 for eternity in heaven. Would you play that in our hearts and minds, Lord, we ask. Father, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. Spirit, we thank you that your will is that we would become like you. We would be godly. We would be set apart. We would be holy. Spirit, I ask for my life. People can join me if they want to. But I apologize to you for grieving you when you've tried to work in my life. I think I'm safe in saying all of us admit that, and we want you to come back and continue to work in our lives. That's dangerous to pray, but we trust you. We trust you. Please make us holy. Please make us so holy, not holier than now or this fake religion, but make us truly holy, pure, beautiful in your sight. Not only so other people see it and are attracted to it, not only because it benefits us and protects us from all kinds of evil, but because it glorifies your name and you are worthy of it. Lord, I ask if anybody here is struggling with this issue, if they feel like they can't be perfect, that you would give them your peace and realize they already are perfect in you, and help that distinction to be made, that they can walk that out in their daily lives. Holy Spirit, I pray for your grace. I pray for your peace. I pray for your forgiveness and protection, even a sense of warmth right now on someone's back or neck or shoulder. Just touch people who are wrestling with this issue of not being good enough, because they are, because you love them and died for them and give so much to them. And Father, I pray for those right now who are going through the ringer, going through the tough stuff of life. In your grace, I ask that you would hurry it up and make it less painful. You would make it be done. But in your greater grace and in faith, I ask that you would refine all of us who are going through those difficult situations to become, ever so much more like you. Lord, make us holy because you are holy, and you alone deserve that. Lord, I pray for those who are at the end of their rope, who can't take a whole lot more refining and pressure and filtering and heat. Would you help them? Would you give them a specific encouragement right now to see that it's almost over for this season? We love you. You're the greatest ever. You're very cool. Amen.